Hi there, it's Melvin. Just wanted to take a moment to thank the team over at Thrizer for supporting this month's podcast sessions. Thrizer is a payment platform that you have to check out if you are a private pay therapist and accepting out-of-network benefits. It basically helps clients save on therapy upfront. Thrizer can help verify a client's out-of-network benefit ahead of the first session so that they get transparency up front on what their out-of-pocket costs will be. I'll tell you more about Thrizer here in the middle of our session, but if you go to sellingthecouch.com/Thrizer, you actually and then enter the code STC upon sign up, you get your first $2,500 in fees waived. Again, that's over at sellingthecouch.com/Thrizer, and be sure to enter the promo code STC. So we'll jump right into today's podcast session. Hello, hello. Welcome to session 43 of the Selling the Couch podcast. It is starting to become fall in Philly, and this is probably my most favorite season. Growing up in Texas, where things literally went from really hot to really cold, it's really nice to have seasons. And I don't know if I've ever mentioned this, but I do a lot of landscape photography. I haven't had as much time recently with the podcast and the blog, but this is definitely my favorite time to get out and shoot all around all sorts of different landscapes. So I am super excited about today's podcast episode, which is actually all about using a brand new social media platform called Periscope. And I imagine that you've probably heard of Periscope, but Periscope is basically a tool that came out earlier this year, and it is a live video streaming app. So you download Periscope onto your smartphone, and then you log in, and people... What people could do is you use that camera that is facing away from you on your smartphone, and people usually send some sort of event they're attending, or they live stream like if they're taking a walk or something like that. But Periscope has been really interesting because a lot of marketing people and a lot of clinicians are starting to use Periscope as a way to connect with their audience and to be seen as a person. Periscope has really taken off here since it launched. So I've read something like it added 1 million users in its first 10 days, and now it's something up to 10 million users. So it's really early still in the game. And so Periscope has definitely a lot of potential when we think about it. My guest today is Mercedes Zamudio, who's a licensed clinical social worker out in California. And I wanted Mercedes to come on the podcast because she uses Periscope really well as a clinician. Her expertise is in parenting and more specifically giving tips to parents with regard to how to raise their children and managing this world of social media and smartphones and all of those things. And Mercedes actually goes on Periscope a couple of times a week and shares all sorts of different tips. And it's been very beneficial for her, both as a clinician, but also helping to build her reputation in the larger community. In today's session of Selling the Couch, Mercedes goes into Periscope and some of the ways that you can start to use Periscope for your own practice, some of the things that have worked for her, some of the things that she's tried but hasn't worked out as well. And then we also go into just some of the ways that you can overcome that initial fear of being in front of that camera and being on Periscope. I feel like Periscope is one of those things. It's just there are so many interesting opportunities, especially in being really able to connect to potential clients and to referral sources. So here is my conversation with Mercedes Zamudio. The first question that I had was, Periscope has had so much buzz in this past year. Like, what do you think is the reason that someone in the mental health field should be on Periscope?
Well, you know, I agree with you. I think that Periscope has really just became this amazing platform for a lot of people. And one of the things that I would say, and I feel this way about all social media, is before you think about doing it, see if your ideal client is there. So really, you know, like get on there yourself, look at a few SCOs, maybe search for some people to see if they're around there and see if your niche and your ideal client is actually on there watching these videos, you know, participate in them before you do your own scopes, because it does a few things. It lets you know kind of what the feel is of scoping and how some people do it, but it also lets you know how your ideal client is responding to scopes and how they're interacting with the various people who are doing the broadcast.
Yeah, no, I think that is an absolutely really good point. How do you go about actually figuring out where, like, what your ideal client is and whether they're actually even on Periscope?
Well, I'm sure you know there's a whole way of figuring out who your ideal client is, but I guess you could just start with, if you're just going to go to Periscope and say, I just want to see what's up, really start with what's your clientele. So let's say you are someone who works with parents and families. So that's what I do, right? So I go on there and I'll maybe search a few brands or a few people that I already follow on social media just to see if those people are already on Periscope. And if they are, I follow them. And when they have broadcasts, I try to watch and see what they talk about, how they interact, what they use to kind of enhance the whole scoping experience.
Yeah, no, that's actually a really good strategy to see how the big influencers in the niche are, whether they're actually on the platform itself.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so I feel like you have been on Periscope for a while and you were really one of the early clinicians. Even like when I started scoping, like I would watch you initially. How did you even find the motivation to get on Periscope?
Yeah. So I started after Kelly and Miranda from ZinniMe. They actually told me about the platform and I was really intrigued by it, but also a little intimidated by it. So once it was released for Android, because I didn't have an iOS device at the time, I went on and just kind of started watching to see what even this was, how people were dealing with it, how people were using it. And after I saw a few scopes, I just decided, well, it seems pretty simple. Let me just do one. And my first scope was just me saying, hey, this is what I'm doing. Hello. I don't know who's there.
I think that's like a common reaction for like everyone, right? Are you there? Are you watching? What are those hearts floating there?
Right, right. And so that was my first experience. And then after I did just a few, I started to kind of Google around, see if there was anybody talking about how to use it or any main tips or main recommendations for it. And then I fell into a group on Facebook called Perry Girls, which is a group where they help female entrepreneurs and female scopers feel more confident on scopes, and they give them like tips and tricks and stuff. And once I got into that group, I kind of just took off because I was able to be in a community where they showed me really how to use it, really how to be effective and intentional as I got on my scopes.
Nice. And that's like a Facebook group, the Perry Girls one?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Sounds good. I'll find that and put that in the show notes.
Mm-hmm.
And then so, just thinking about some of those tips that you did learn from them, what would you say are, let's say, the top three tips that you've learned?
The first tip is just to be yourself. It's really interesting that that's like my number one tip, because you get on there and you feel so awkward that you sometimes try to sound very professional or you try to sound very this or that. Just be yourself. People really connect with you just saying, hey, I'm here. This is what I kind of felt like talking about today. People really connect with that. I would say the second tip is to be intentional. So if you're going to do it, just be really mindful of what do I want to talk about? You know, what does my ideal client seem to want? And you can find that by, you know, looking at trending topics online or Googling, you know, updates for whatever your ideal client is dealing with and kind of talk about that. Or you can even bring in things from what you're seeing in your practice or what you're seeing in the groups and the things that you're doing. And then I would say number three is get into some type of community where you can share your broadcast and you can start to build followers. So Perry Girls is one. Perry Dudes is another one. Maybe look up hashtags where people are doing certain challenges for, because when you get in a community, it helps to increase your followers and people will come in, watch you, support you, learn more about what you're doing. And then you can kind of increase your following that way.
Yeah, it's amazing like how we're able to like leverage the power of community like this in this day and age.
Yes.
So you said one of the things was that you actually will look at topics that are trending or see what others are talking about. Generally, when you do a scope, do you focus kind of on one topic and then think about like a couple of points you bring up, or how do you even, I guess, structure it?
I think I do a little bit of both. It's usually a hybrid. So sometimes I will think about a certain topic that I'm seeing coming up a lot in my practice, or it's a certain time of the year where I realize these topics tend to come up. And so I'll just kind of think about one or two things I really want to hit. And then I leave it also open for interaction. So you don't want to be too structured, because when people come in, they'll start to connect with you and start to engage with you. So you want to be able to be flexible enough to get your points out, but also kind of address whatever is going on. I'll share an example. Like, for instance, I was doing a September Scopers Challenge, and one of the challenges was to do, where were you on September 11th? Mm-hmm. So, of course, I had my story about where I was, but a guy came on and started to share his story of how he lost his partner during that time and how, mm-hmm. you know, he really appreciates what people are doing on the scopes. And I was able to kind of just fluctuate and be there with that person while they were engaging with me, and then was able to get back to my story. So you kind of have to be flexible, but also kind of have a little bit of intention behind it as well.
Well, I feel like we as clinicians, like, you know, once we get past the nervousness and the technology hurdle of Periscope, we'd be really good at it, right? Like, yes. In many ways, it's like therapy, right? Like,
yes.
you have some idea of what you want to talk about in session, but then there's always something that's going to come up, and we have to just trust ourselves and go with it in that moment.
Yes, I 100% agree with that.
You know, one of the other things that you had mentioned was just how you kind of structure. You said you use that hybrid kind of system. So mm-hmm. I wonder if you can even just take us through like a sample kind of Periscope that you would do. So for example, you know, when you log in, what do? Do you wait for folks to come in and then, you know, proceeding, and how does that all structure out and work out?
Right. So I guess I can talk to you about what I decided to do. So when I really got serious about scoping, I decided to actually set up a Periscope schedule for myself. So Monday through Sunday, except for about Thursday and Saturday, I pretty much have a scope scheduled where I know I'm going to talk about a certain topic or talk about kind of an umbrella topic. So that was really helpful to help me get prepared. So when I log in, let's say today, so on Wednesday mornings, I do scopes for families. So what I do is I go into Google Drive, or if you have PowerPoint, you can do that. And I just set up a couple slides. So that way I can just kind of have some points if I want, or just to let people know my contact information, things like that. So I'll get those set up. I'll go into my Google Drive, open that up, set that slide up. I'll log in, and then I think about the topic that I want. So I use hashtags a lot, and I think about the topics that will pull people in. So when that person sees the title go up or they get that notification, they go, oh, I want to watch that. And they'll stop what they're doing and watch it. Mm. And so I do that, and then I start my broadcast. When I start my broadcast, I welcome people. I say hello. If I can remember within those first couple seconds, and I think this was a tip you gave me, where you want to welcome your replay viewers as well, because they get to, you know, when they watch, they see those first couple seconds as soon as they get in. And then I do give some time for people to come in. I greet people as they come in. I greet my repeat visitors, so people who have been on multiple scopes. If I know them by name, I definitely will say, hi, Melvin, you know, thanks for joining, and, you know, things like that. If I don't know their name and they just have a screen handle that's not their name, I'll ask them maybe to share what their actual name is if they feel comfortable sharing that. Hmm. And after I've done that, maybe, I don't know, you know, maybe like a minute of that, I'll get right into the scope.
Yeah, I mean, it's so interesting, right? Like this medium of like being able to connect. I don't know. I keep having these like images of the parallels to therapy, right? Like when a person first comes in, you want to establish that trust with them and you want to make them feel comfortable. It's like very similar skill sets.
Yes, it is. It really is. And I think, like you mentioned a couple of minutes ago, where once, you know, us as clinicians get past that initial fear of being on camera and that initial fear of the technological kind of learning curve you have by learning it, you mean you just kind of flourish on it because you already do this every day. You greet your clients in the waiting room. You know, when you start a session, you know how to kind of let them get into it before you get right into work. So we have these skills already. It's just, I think, like you said, getting over those hurdles, those first couple hurdles, you know?
Mm. Speaking of which, what are some of the things that you have done to overcome that fear of being on Periscope? Because I know for me, that's probably the biggest thing still.
Yeah.
Like, I'm
yeah.
just like, oh my gosh, like there's somebody watching me and there's hearts flying around and people logging in. And,
you know, I'll be honest with you. I think there's still a little bit of anxiety every time I'm about to hit start broadcast. Mm-hmm. You know, like I get ready and I'm all ready. And then right before I hit start broadcast, I'm like, oh, what if no one shows up? And what if no one gives hearts? But then what I do try to do is I try to think about what kind of value am I providing to people? Because that actually will help me to get into my headspace of I'm here to provide value. I'm here to provide a service for people. So when they do decide to come on either live or watching the replay, they'll leave with something. They'll leave feeling like they got a little bit of something to help them. So when I try to shift that mindset from that anxiety right before I start broadcast to say, you know what, this is something I really want to give to my families. This is something I really want parents to hear about. I kind of get back into that groove of being a parent coach who kind of knows what I'm doing. And this is just another service I'm offering them. So that kind of helps a little bit.
Yeah. And I feel like it's a great medium because all of us, we have so much knowledge just from our training, right? And it's a great medium to be able to share that with others.
Right. I agree with you.
You know, I realized when we were asking this, we're like talking about flying hearts and all this, but let me just take a step back. For someone that's never been on Periscope, I was wondering if you could explain that concept of the hearts and all of that, okay. What we're talking about.
Okay, so the hearts, you give hearts on the broadcast, whether you're watching live or replay, by tapping on your screen. So whatever device you're watching on, you just literally tap on the front screen, and that's how you can give hearts. And hearts are similar to, it's like Periscope's popularity currency, if you will, or their currency. Whereas on Facebook, you can like a status and comment. And, you know, Twitter, you can retweet or, you know, share and things like that. It's the same thing on Periscope. So when you give hearts, it's like liking a comment. And then when you get in the chat and you comment, it's like commenting on a post on any other social media platform. So it kind of just allows you as the scoper to know if people are really enjoying this content or maybe they're not so much. And then it also lets other people who come to your page, they see your heart count. It's kind of like, okay, this is someone who people really trust. This is someone who people really like their content.
Yeah. And I think one of the really nice things is because Periscope is so new, it's not like you're dealing with people everywhere. Everyone has like 100,000 hearts or something
right.
like that.
Right, exactly. And again, there are some of those influencers who are there yet. They already have like a million hearts. And then there, I think those are just those influencers who are those early adopters. But I think people like you or I, when you see our heart count, it lets you know that we are giving real content that people are really enjoying. And so if you want to join us for our scopes, if you want to follow us, you won't be disappointed. You'll get real value from it.
Right. You know, I know that one of the things with Periscope is that it's only the recorded part is only available for 24 hours. Is that right?
Yes, it is. Yes,
okay.
It is.
Okay. But so how does that work? So after that, is there a way to like record it in time? Like, I know there was like that website, I believe it's like catch.me or...
Yes, yes.
Yeah. So I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about that, because I guess the concept of Periscope is that it disappears after 24 hours.
Yes, you're right. So when you do your scope, and if for someone who hasn't started yet, you want to make sure that before you do your first scope, you go into your settings, which is it's pretty apparent from your profile where your settings are, and you do two things. You make sure that your broadcast replays actually do happen. So you say, you know, yes, I want replays. And then you also check the box that says save to camera roll. So that way, no matter what device you're using, it'll save to your phone or your device's camera roll. And if you want to repurpose that content in any way, you can do that. So that's one thing I would say. And then if you want your broadcast to stay after the 24 hours, or you want to be able to direct people to your broadcast after those 24 hours, you want to go to catch.me and just start a profile. And then what ends up happening is that once you start that profile and it's linked to your Periscope, the, I guess, whatever software they have or however their logarithms are or their algorithms are, they will literally catch your Periscopes, and you can direct people to that link so they can watch those old ones.
Oh, wow. So I haven't used catch.me. So it actually does it automatically. You don't have to upload. Oh, nice.
Nope. You don't have to do anything. As soon as you finish, when the replay is available, that catch.me replay will be available at the same time.
And then have you done anything of like that repurposing, like uploading it to YouTube or anything like that?
I've been trying to figure it out. There's two things I want to do. One is I do want to upload it to YouTube, but I also want to get them transcribed because I feel like I've given a lot of content, and I would love to maybe use it in a blog post or repurpose it in some way, because I just give that content. It's very off the cuff. But, you know, if I do say so myself, some of it's been really good. I'm like, oh, man, I should have wrote that down. So I would love to maybe go through Fiverr or some kind of outsourcing site like that and get someone to transcribe a few of them.
Yeah, that's actually a great idea. I mean, you bring up a great point, which is with a lot of these mediums, you can do one presentation and then repurpose it to different types of social media platforms.
Yep, exactly. Exactly.
You said earlier that the idea of like you spend a lot of time thinking about like titles for your scopes and then hashtags. Like, tell us a little bit more about that, like your thought process around creating a title and...
So the scheduling helped me with that a lot. So if you are thinking about doing Periscope, it might be good to give yourself maybe 1 or 2 days where you know you're going to go on and you're going to talk about things. So it kind of just gives you a good framework for it. But what I think about titles is I try to think about what type of content I'm going to go ahead and talk about in my scope. And then I think about a topic that would get someone to want to actually come in and listen to that content. So it's kind of like what we do when we are looking at our marketing and we're trying to figure out what is our ideal client's pain point. So you're thinking about that too in that title. So for this morning, I did one where I was like, oh, I want to talk about social media and families. So I said my title was The Real Deal About Social Media, you know, where it's like, that sounds like something I want to know the real deal about social media. Like, what is it? You know, so that's one thing. And then hashtags I use because I have my Periscope linked to my Twitter. And so when it's linked to my Twitter, what Periscope does is it sends out an announcement on Twitter to let people know that you're live. And they also send another one to let people know when your replay is up. So if you use hashtags in your title, that'll be represented on your Twitter in your Twitter post.
Oh, nice. And then are there certain places that you look for hashtags or the more popular ones for your niche?
I do both. So I'll go on Twitter and I'll look for a few just to see kind of if I'm just looking for ideas. And then on Periscope, you can actually search in the search box, just like you can search for users. You can actually search parenting or you can search anything in your niche and find people who are talking about those things in there.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. Learn something new.
Cool.
And then you said one of the things that you also do, and I know that we had talked about this, but what do you do in terms of actually promoting that episode after it's been released?
I'll be honest with you. I don't always do it as best as I probably should, but I will either take the link. So after you're done, you can go to it should say like a share button under your broadcast once you're done, and you take the link and you can post it wherever. So Twitter, that already gets promoted because my Periscope is linked to my Twitter. But afterwards, if I want to share it on Facebook or anywhere else on LinkedIn, I can literally take the link and plug it into a new post and then send it that way.
That's actually very helpful. Awesome.
And I was going to say too, Melvin, this might be a little advanced, but maybe you can share about it in the notes. But I also found an IFTTT recipe to have it actually post to my Facebook page too. So we can talk about that maybe, and I can give you some, maybe the recipe, and you can put that in the show notes maybe.
Yeah, that sounds really good. So basically you explain that because I think folks may not know the IFTTT.
So IFTTT is if then, or I don't know what it stands for, but it's a site where you go in and you can do different recipes where if it says, if I post something on Twitter, it'll post here. Or if I get a certain email here, I can get it sent to my phone there. So you can look up different recipes that kind of helps your social media and all of the things that you do online. It helps you to kind of organize and be more concise about all of it.
Yeah. So you're not spending like a lot of time. Instead, you're just taking one content. It's automatically shooting it across different social media platforms.
Correct. Correct.
Nice. So explain to me, like, how do you use that for Periscope?
So what I have it do is it says that if Twitter catches a certain hashtag for my Periscope, then it will send it to my Facebook page.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I don't have to cross post. I don't have to take the link. It'll do it for me.
Man, you're like the master of efficiency here.
You know what? I'll reiterate this. Get into a Periscope community either on Facebook or anywhere else, because this is where I get all of those tips. So for me, I do Perry Girls. And they also have Perry Dudes. So both of those communities, if you get in there, they're always posting tips. They're always doing Periscopes themselves on different tips and different updates. So it could be really beneficial to get into these communities and just kind of be there. Even if you don't want to participate, just kind of watch their post and see what's going on, because that's how I've gotten all these ideas and all of these tips.
Yeah. Are there any other like Periscope influencers that you follow on Periscope?
One that I really do follow a lot, and her name is Kim Garst.
Yeah, she's really popular on Twitter, I remember when
Yes. So now she's very huge on Periscope, and actually she does a lot of Periscope. So I kind of every now and then will watch one of hers and just get some updates. And also Alex Petit, I don't know if that's how you say his name, but he's really big too. So he's always very up on whatever the new updates are, whatever the new kind of advances are. He always does a scope and talks about how you can kind of master it and manipulate it so it can be more easy for you. So those are the two people that I think are really great at talking about specifically tips and tricks to kind of master Periscope.
Awesome. And then I don't know, it's been a while since I've done a scope. So I know initially like you couldn't link to, like you couldn't actually like find your Periscope page, right? Has that changed at all?
Yes, it has. So actually online now without your device, you can go to periscope.tv/ your handle, your Periscope handle without the at symbol. Mm-hmm. And you have your own page now where any of your recent broadcasts are there and people can watch it live or they can watch the replay.
Oh, nice. So you could put like a URL to it on your website,
for
example.
Could. Yep. The only thing is they can't interact with you, so they can't comment and they can't give hearts, but they can watch it.
It's actually really helpful because initially I was like, oh, why doesn't it allow us to do that?
Yes. Yes. But now you can do that. So yes, you can direct people to that link now to watch any of your recent. And so it only has the recent one. So whichever broadcast you've done within the last 24 hours, that'll be on the page.
Okay.
Yep.
And then Mercedes, I feel like I asked you a bunch of different questions. Was there anything like glaring that I didn't ask about Periscope that you think listeners should know?
No, I think we kind of covered most of it. Yeah.
Awesome. Mercedes, thank you so much for doing this. What are some of the best ways that folks can get in touch with you? And also, please feel free to share your Periscope handle.
Sure. So pretty much the best way to get in touch with me is to go to my website, which is theparentingskill.com. And from there, I pretty much have all of my social media. I have blogs, I have parenting resources and things like that. So if you are looking for any of those type of things, you can definitely get it start there at my website, theparentingskill.com. And then if you want to follow me on Periscope, my handle is at @parentskills.
Awesome. Thank you so much again, Mercedes. Hey, what's up? Hope you enjoyed my conversation with Mercedes. I feel like I took away so many things from that conversation. Periscope is such a neat social media platform. You know, one of the things that I was thinking about was, so I actually tried Periscope and I've been on Periscope probably. I've done, I believe, somewhere like 8 to 9 scopes, as they call it. And it's been a lot of fun. Like, you know, I think it definitely for the first couple of times it was intimidating for sure, especially because I much prefer to be behind a mic doing a podcast. The more and more you do it, it becomes kind of fun, especially because a lot of times your friends who are clinicians come on and they're sending hearts your way and they're writing comments, and it's just a really neat venue. You know, I was just thinking after this conversation, I was just thinking about the potential that Periscope, and there's a competitor, one called Meerkat. That one is fairly popular as well, but if right now it seems like Periscope has taken a little bit more, it's gotten a little bit more popular than Meerkat. But regardless, I think this whole live video streaming has a lot of potential. And I think the biggest thing that I took away was thinking about how you can use something like this for your practice, because it's a very cool opportunity to be able to, one, speak to your ideal client, but the other thing, to be able to connect with them at a real level and at a very genuine level, because they're literally seeing you, you're answering questions, you're offering tips and strategies, and by doing that, you're coming across as an expert in whatever niche that you're in. Show notes to today's episode can be found at sellingthecouch.com/session and the number 43. And Mercedes' website is at theparentingskill.com. Take good care and have a great rest of your week.
Thanks for listening to the Selling the Couch podcast. For more great content and to stay up to date, visit www.sellingthecouch.com.
So if you've been listening to the STC podcast for a while, or you've been listening to podcasts and you've had this thought of, Mel, I would love to launch my own podcast in order to grow my business, just wanted to encourage you to check out our free podcasting workshop, which is over at sellingthecouch.com/podcasting workshop. You can basically sign up at a day and a time that works for you. It's 90 minutes. And when I do these workshops or when I record them, I truly believe in quality teaching, so it's going to be well worth your time. We're going to go through gear recommendations and how to launch strategically and how to think about monetizing your podcast and how to line up your podcast with your existing offers and how to do it strategically and authentically and not salesy and slimy and all of those things. So again, the link is over at sellingthecouch.com/podcasting workshop.